This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Texans, Lions tomorrow. Thanksgiving football, not much better. Wake up in the morning, enjoy that Thursday off, watch the game. It's going to be the Houston Texans this time. It's going to be Deshaun Watson, it's going to be J.J. Watt, Deshaun's first taste of Thanksgiving football. And I don't think there are two guys who summarize the feel of Thanksgiving in football better than the great John Madden and the late Pat Summerall.
I'll tell you, Pat, this stuff is looking good and smelling good and tasting good. We got to dig in and start eating now.
It is good, but you got to hurry because the bus is running. It's getting close to game time. We got to get headed for the Silver Dome, and we just like to say happy Thanksgiving to you guys back in the studio.
Are you supposed to eat breakfast on Thanksgiving Day? Or do you just kind of
fast
and starve yourself?
I don't think I do. Maybe like something small or something, because you gotta get ready, man. You gotta prep yourself.
Isn't it just more of a
like you'll have a scrambled
fast
egg
type thing,
toast or something, and a scrambled egg?
That or go somewhere real quick.
Yeah,
pick up something real quick.
Yeah, I mean
I think you gotta fast.
It's a process, man. You gotta have something first. I do anyway.
I think you gotta fast.
Because with my coffee, I gotta have something. Maybe you know, piece of toast or something, and then get ready, get it on. Because I'm cooking too. So I get outside and I start.
Yeah, usually people be cooking all night.
Yeah.
That's how my mother used to do. She'd cook all night in the morning.
When you roast a turkey, it's all night. You got to get up at 4 or whatever to baste it and all that stuff.
Here is more from Madden and Summer. I could just listen to these guys all day. I almost just want to hear them call a game on loop.
This thing here is a deboned duck stuffed in a deboned chicken stuffed in a deboned turkey with stuffing. Now you're talking. And that has 8 legs.
Legs got to have a bone, doesn't it? It can't be deboned if it's got legs.
No, then we put the legs on it, too. See, and you just kind of cut this right down the middle, and then you cut sideways, and you get a little turkey and a little chicken and a little duck. Now, that's there. That's turducken. Then over there, we have the turkey. See, now, here's the turkey. We got 1 leg, 2 legs, 3 legs, 4 legs, 5 legs, 6 legs. So 6 of these legs, or 1 of these legs, or 2 of these 6 legs are going to be given to someone. I mean, whoever you want to give them to.
What do you want? What do you want to do with those grapes?
With the, no, the grapes are gone, and then I'm going to eat the turducken with anyone who wants to go on the way to Kansas City.
It's a little too much.
The grapes are gone. He broke it down. What do you mean it's a little too much? He broke it down like a game-winning play.
But I'm talking about the food itself. Now, the breakdown was perfect, but the food itself, a little too much. There's a lot going
on there.
I've
never in my life, believe it or not, had turducken. I've never had the inkling to.
Yeah, I believe that. Why would I not believe that?
Well, because it became a popular thing. These guys introduced turducken to America with the Thanksgiving games. It was not a thing, and then it became a big thing.
Just seems like kind of a food created in a lab.
It kind of was. It kind of was.
Things to look out for tomorrow that nobody's talking about. Here is my list of things to observe tomorrow when the Texans take on the Lions. The Belichick defensive coordinator fashion show. Mm-hmm. In other words, who wore it worst? Who will wear it worst? Romeo Crennel coming off a performance 3 days ago where he wore the worst head coaching outfit in NFL history. I don't think Romeo has many records at the NFL level, but at the age of 73 on Sunday, he wore the worst head coaching outfit in the history of the NFL. Matt Patricia doesn't dress much better than Romeo, but can Romeo keep that going? Can Romeo break his own title? I mean, he had the navy blue sweatpants tucked into the black shirt with the blue mask and the glasses. He wasn't even matching and had his sweatpants and t-shirt tucked in.
But he can. He's Romeo. He's your fun uncle. He's 73 years old. He could show up to Thursday's game like he's at the pit in slides, White Sox, gym shorts, and a football jersey, and holding a spatula and a towel over his shoulder, and he would still be better dressed than whatever Matt Patricia is going to wear.
I just tweeted it out at Landry Locker, the Romeo Crennel coaching outfit. I'm not sure about this. What is the sales pitch on the tucking the t-shirt into the sweatpants?
You're Romeo. You're old, and you don't care. Like I said, he could dress like he's at the pit, and he'd be better dressed than.
But you get free clothes.
So,
like he can literally get anything he wants. So why not match?
Because he doesn't have to.
And it's free gear, man.
Okay.
Like it's one thing for a guy who has to buy his own gear or something like that to not match, but you should never wear black with the navy blue. Period. But you get free gear, bro.
I'm sure his wife told him, but he doesn't care. Doesn't matter.
It doesn't. Don't care. I mean, he had to lift his arms to put that shirt on.
Okay.
So it took some effort.
Yeah.
So he cared enough to lift his arms. Get you something that matches, Romeo.
No, he doesn't need to.
You're embarrassing yourself.
He doesn't need to.
You're making the organization look bad. If you wear that tomorrow, you're making us look bad on national TV.
He'd be not, better than though. That. He's Romeo.
Look like a weasel, Romeo. I don't care. He's not Romeo to everyone else. He's not Romeo to the dude in Oklahoma who's just turning his TV on while he fries his turkey.
Yeah.
Embarrassing yourself, Romeo.
No,
do a little bit
not.
Better than that. That
he's,
was bad.
No, he's not.
Bad. That was almost the run game was the second worst thing on Sunday. Romeo's outfit was the first. Absolute disgrace. The potential battle of the second rounders. DeAndre Swift, rookie running back out of Georgia. He was considered to be arguably the best back in the previous draft, but the Chiefs went with Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I don't think they regret it. The young man out of LSU. Lions got DeAndre Swift in the second round, and shortly after that, the Texans drafted Ross Blacklock. Swift.
So who would you rather have?
I mean, I would rather have had a running back. I wanted the Texans to draft a running back instead of just drafting a guy on defense to draft a guy on defense. So my answer is I would have rather had a running back.
I'm looking at your picture you tweeted.
That's just me, though? Yeah, look at that.
Got a shirt tucked into sweatpants.
His sweatpants are tucked in over his belly
And you know
button.
He's wearing boxers.
No.
100%.
No, he's not.
He's not wearing anything?
Whitey tighties.
No, he's wearing boxers.
He's a whitey tighty guy. 73, bro. For sure. I don't want to go too in-depth in this conversation, but whitey tighties. One of the most, like, I don't even know how to describe it, weird things that I saw when I was in a locker room. I was in New Orleans. And Rod Marinelli, defensive coordinator of the Cowboys. Another OG defensive coordinator. He was walking around the locker room with like his polo that he was wearing tucked into his whitey tighties. And he was like, he was coming back from the restroom and he was like putting some aftershave on or something.
Mm-hmm.
And he has like his polo tucked into his whitey tighties and he's walking. And I'm like, what is going on? He just walks over, puts the jeans on and then just keeps it going.
Who does that?
Romeo.
Yeah, maybe. But again, he can.
Dude, I mean, anyone can.
No, I'm saying he's allowed.
He's got to have some respect, Romeo. Come on, man. That's bad. Where do you even get that? Number three storyline, the Tech slots. Danny Amendola from the Woodlands against Kiki QT from Lufkin, both from Texas Tech. The Tech slots. We're going to see Danny Amendola, who's had a lot of success against the Texans, and we're going to see Kiki QT because Randall Cobb, if you're just tuning in, and Kenny Stills not going to play. So the battle of the Tech slots, another matchup that nobody's talking about that'll be on your TV tomorrow at 11:30.
That's a good one. I like that. Two guys, obviously, with close ties to Texas, and certainly Kiki QT, who will be getting a lot of playing time if you haven't heard Randall Cobb officially on the IR, so we may not see him again this year. Cobb.
No.
Yeah.
And it's a shame we're going to have to see him next year, quite honestly, with the $10 million that he's guaranteed. JJ versus the lack of on-field clout. JJ likes the spotlight. We know that. He hasn't gotten much spotlight because players who are on 3-7 teams don't typically get a lot of attention. JJ Watt knows what Thanksgiving means. So JJ is going to be doing a little bit extra, whether it be to get the sack or whatever. JJ Watt versus the lack of clouts.
It's J.J. Watt all day. He's going to step up big. He's going to have a big game. He always does on national TV games and important games. I fully expect J.J. To do a finger wag and some sort of special celebration if he gets a sack.
He's going to do what he always does.
No, he's going to eat like
he's got enough of a brand.
Act like he's eating a turkey leg or something.
He's got enough of a brand.
I know, but that's what he does. His brand is always coming up with something.
I don't want to see the Rock Boys tomorrow. I really don't.
Mm-hmm.
Get rid of the damn ball, Stafford. Like, if Whitney Merciless or Jonathan Martin's coming at you, get rid of the ball. I don't want to see any Rock Boys. That's the last thing I want to see.
That is a bit much. That's for sure.
Just no Rock Boys, please. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you here on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. Let's hear some more from Madden and Summerall. Here are the two best voices of Thanksgiving football all the time. We're about 23-ish hours away from Texans versus Lions.
And John, as you think about all the people around the country sitting down to enjoy Thanksgiving with their friends and their families, we're here with our friends and our family, and we indeed have a lot to be thankful for.
Well, I think 17 years together, 17 great years, and to me there's nothing better. There's no place that I would rather be today on Thanksgiving than right here, right now at a football game. And there's just certain things that go together, you know, the turkey, the family, the tradition, football, and we have it all today. And we have the whole tradition of the National Football League. You know, I carry a picture of Red Grange around, and I look at this and I think the first Thanksgiving Day game ever played was here in Detroit, the Chicago Bears at Detroit, and Red Grange was in that game. And I think when you have that, when you have Red Grange, and you have turkey and stuffing and dumplings and football and the Chicago Bears and the Detroit Lions, I don't think it gets any better than this.
Well, there's one other great thing that we, both of us, have to be thankful for, and that is we're both in good health. I look forward to another 17 great years. Right now, we're going to head inside to the booth to get ready to broadcast today's game. And today, as you watch the contest, you'll get a chance to see arguably one of the best runners ever to play pro football, Barry Sanders. So while we head inside, you get ready to watch Barry at his best.
Oh, I was. I was always ready to watch Barry.
He was always a victim. He was like a legendary victim.
Yep.
That's what I looked at Barry Sanders as. He was great, but you always felt sorry for him every time you watched him play.
But he was highlight worthy. I mean, he was must-see TV. He was the guy that, if it was Thanksgiving, you're watching Barry Sanders. At least the Lions on offense.
Had some crappy quarterbacks, my goodness.
And not the line that Emmett had either. All those people that say, you know, Barry at the Cowboys would be as good, if not better, than Emmett, were right. 100%.
Say it again.
A lot of people say Barry, had the Texans drafted Barry Sanders instead of Emmett Smith, he would be as good as Emmett with the Cowboys, if not better.
The Cowboys.
Yeah, and that is accurate. That Cowboys line was ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, it's the best offensive line of all time. Shout out to Eric Williams, Nate Newton, Mark Stepnoski, Larry Owen a little bit later on, little Derek Kennard, little Ray Donaldson. Yeah, I remember that squad very, very well. Shout out to those guys. That was a damn good offense line. Rest in peace, Mark Tune, too.
Yeah.
Keep going all day. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you here on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. The Texans Thanksgiving plates. What is Jacob Martin on the Texans Thanksgiving plate, and what is Deshaun Watson next?
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
All right, perfect Thanksgiving plate. Texans edition, courtesy of the OG John Lopez. If Texans players were a dish, which dish would they be tomorrow in your Thanksgiving spread?
And why? There's a lot of thought that went into this. So Texans players as dishes, Deshaun Watson is dressing with gravy. And the reason is you can have all the turkey you want. You know what's going to carry that plate? The dressing and the gravy. You know what carries the Texans? Deshaun Watson.
My boy, B-White, in the Bentley truck.
I saw that whole video this morning just for fun. It was so good. So Deshaun Watson is dressing with gravy because he carries the whole plate. J.J. Watt is turkey. Not the bad turkey, the good turkey. Strong, it's there, it's lasting, you can always count on it. just like J.J. Watt.
All-world defensive lineman J.J. Watt.
That is correct. All-world turkey, especially if it's fried, after you fry a couple of racks of ribs in the oil to get it seasoned real good. Romeo Crennel, mashed potatoes and gravy. He steps in and does the job. You can always have mashed potatoes and gravy. You have mashed potatoes and gravy all year long. But on Thanksgiving, you step it up a notch. You got the gravy homemade, and it steps in and does the job when you don't expect it, and Romeo has done exactly that. That's how he began his rise. It is.
I think Romeo's the old Thanksgiving decoration that you don't really need.
I do like that.
It's still
there.
Began
his rise.
I do like that.
It's still there.
Will Fuller is sweet potatoes. You really don't know what to expect. Just like with Will Fuller, you didn't really know what to expect. But if it's there, it's always good. Especially with a little marshmallow on top, maybe some caramelized sugar. Sweet potatoes, baby. That's Will Fuller. When it's there, it's real good. Zach Cunningham. This is an easy one. Zach Cunningham is pecan pie because he finishes everything off.
Leads the league in tackles.
After all is said and done, grab yourself some pecan pie and finish it all off. John Weeks is green bean casserole. Kind of bland, kind of there, reliable, but nothing special. I mean, he'd be the first to tell you that. Lasting, durable. John Weeks is green bean casserole. Eric Murray. Cranberries. Completely unnecessary. That would be Eric Murray. David Johnson is the dish that your crazy aunt brings that nobody wants, but you have to put it on your plate or else you'll hurt its feeling, her feelings. It's like, why? But you got to do it. Just like they had to do, they had to play David Johnson. Bradley Roby is mac and cheese because it's always invited to the cookout. Race car! So to speak. Jacob Martin. He's the charcuterie plate. Not exactly, how do I put this?
Needed.
Well, not exactly ethnic, and pretty basic.
Hi, I'm Jake Martin. I play Leo here.
Jacob Martin is the charcuterie plate. Is there anybody else I'm missing? Those were the ones I came up with.
Ross Blacklock.
Ross Blacklock. What would Ross Blacklock be? Something that you forget.
You probably like the chips.
Yeah, you just kind of forget about the chips. They're there. You can have some if you want, but you're not counting on it.
You don't really know if you want them. You don't know if they're there. Maybe grab one every once in a while when you're there. Yeah. What's Justin Reed?
Ooh, Justin Reed. Something that's inconsistent this year. That would be.
He's a pumpkin pie.
He did potato salad.
Oh, pumpkin pie
he's
for
pumpkin
sure.
Pumpkin pie.
For sure.
Hit or miss.
Yep. That is a really good one.
Can change the game, but it's hit or miss.
Absolutely. What is Brandon Cooks?
Lord.
What is Randall Cobb? Is he the wishbone? Because you got to snap it.
Something overpriced.
Yeah, something overpriced.
Brandon Cooks is the
what is Brandon Cook? Something fast. Oh, he's the pickle tray. The pickle and, you know, my family always does like pickles and gherkins and
what's?
Gherkins.
What are those?
The little sweet pickles.
The ones with like the dots all over them?
Yeah, they're a little sweet. They're smaller, you know.
Those...
Oh, a little baby corn, good? You know, a little baby good? Corn. I like them. That's Brandon Cooks. What is Nick Martin?
God,
something weighty. Something.
Nick Martin is the lazy fat ass uncle.
No, we're talking about dishes.
Who? There's probably about four carloads. That need to be carried in. There's probably about four trips that need to be made.
Yeah.
And he lets his wife and daughter carry it in, and then he grabs one bag of ice and acts like he's helping out. He's a fake hustling fat ass uncle.
Oh, he's Rolls. Nick Martin is Rolls.
What kind of rolls?
Like white bread. The little white baked. What are the ones that?
The Hawaiian? Nah.
No, not the Hawaiian. The little small ones that look like they have a butt on the top of them. Yeah.
What's Laramie Tunsil?
Oh, I forgot Tunsil.
Laramie Tunsil's the expensive shrimp cocktail. Like, it's overpriced. You probably don't need it to have a good Thanksgiving dinner.
Yeah.
But no one complains when it's there and it still tastes good. So yeah. Laramie Tunsil is basically like the overpriced, expensive shrimp cocktail.
Yeah, that's a good one. Because who has shrimp cocktail, you know?
Some people.
Some people do. And then they overprice it.
Overprice it. Don't need it.
Mm-hmm.
There it is. Perfect Thanksgiving plate right there for the Houston Texans. Anyone else? What is Kiami Fairbairn? 713-572-4610. 6105 says Jack Easterby is the liquor because he will F everything up. 3323 says Nick Martin is the cheap-ass store-bought rolls.
That's the one I was talking about. I forget what they're called.
Ooh, 9573 says Kahale Waring is the wax fruit. Just there for show and can't get in the game.
That's perfect.
4011 says Nick Martin is all the dishes combined in the bottom of the toilet after you eat. James in the H.
Man, that is harsh.
Very harsh.
Yeah.
3876, you forgot one of the most important parts. Who is the dinner rolls? Good dinner rolls.
Go with the good dinner rolls.
Good dinner rolls, not bad dinner rolls. Mm. Who's the good dinner rolls?
Who are the good dinner rolls? It looks like you have somebody in mind, but you don't want to say
know.
It.
I don't know if they have good dinner rolls.
Oh, what's Whitney Merciless?
Got to be something overpriced.
Something that isn't as good as it used to be. He's the bad salad. The salad that nobody eats.
Whitney,
oh.
No, Whitney is the perfectly mixed cocktail that falls on the ground.
Carrot salad.
Might have had value before, but there's none now.
Carrot salad with raisins. It's like, come on, man. We don't really need it, do we? It's...
Is there ever, like, when you go to a cafeteria or something like that and they have the salad at the end, what's with the carrot salad? You down with that? You seem like carrot salad.
I'm okay with it. I'll eat it, but it's not a big portion of my plate.
How do you feel about ham?
Not on Thanksgiving.
Someone's asking about the ham.
A lot do it on Christmas, but some do it on Thanksgiving, I guess.
Ham goes in, though.
Darn right it does. Heck yeah.
We do it on Thanksgiving.
You
turkey
do?
And ham.
You do?
Yep.
Ham goes in, though.
Mm-hmm.
Some people prefer ham over turkey. John Harris is one of those guys.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He talked about it. We had it yesterday.
Yeah. For me, Christmas is like a gumbo day.
Christmas Eve is gumbo.
Yeah, Christmas Eve is gumbo.
Christmas Eve is gumbo. Yep.
I'm eating some stew today, man. I might not even eat Thanksgiving
Christmas
tomorrow.
For us, as you know, is a different country every year. And we decided,
y'all got to redeem yourselves.
We decided
last
tomorrow.
Week. Last year was trash for
it
you.
It was not.
That was bad.
Trash.
Y'all made the most of it, but man, that was awful.
What's wrong with you?
I mean, what's wrong with y'all?
It's my favorite.
What was it last year again?
You don't even remember?
I just remember it was awful.
It's like Italy or something, right?
No, hell no. Kidding me? You know what the Lopez's would do with some F in Italy?
It wasn't Italy.
What was it last year? Because they Lopez family draws every Thanksgiving for their Christmas meal, and last year was just trash.
We do.
You can't even remember.
We do every. It was Japan. It was Japan. We do everything possible.
I think it was something other than Japan.
Was it Japan the year before?
What was it last year?
I thought it was Japan. Either Japan last year or the year before. So we pick a country every year. We decide on Thanksgiving.
It was Greece.
No. Greece is on the docket this year. That's one of the possibilities this year. So we've done Italy. We've done the Caribbean.
Awesome.
We've done Japan.
Awesome.
We've done Germany. Oh, that's what it was. That's what it was.
Yeah,
Germany.
Oh,
yeah, because
trash.
I made
that was garbage.
Because I made homemade sausage, man.
That was
remember,
garbage,
I made
bro.
I made homemade sausage.
That was garbage.
We had
what a
spetzel.
Terrible pick.
It was awesome. We had spetzel. We had homemade sausage. We had all the German dishes. It was really good. And then we decorate the house in that respective country.
Or was
country.
It France? Jacob said it was France.
Because remember, it was France. Germany was before, too.
France was whack, too.
We made a beer garden.
France was whack, too.
Yeah, we made a beer garden. It's awesome.
Your son's saying that's the best food. Give me a break. Italy's better than that.
French is pretty strong, man. We've done England. So the finalists this year, I believe, are Greece, China.
Man, I'm rooting for China.
Yeah, China could be good. All kinds of stuff.
Y'all could do some work with China. Carlos, go question. Ahead.
Go ahead. Hey, guys. How are you guys?
Great. Hey, great, man.
Hi. Merciless is the turkey fart after Thanksgiving. They stink.
Good gracious. I'm telling you, Whitney's not doing very well for himself. Landry Locker, John Lopez. Chitlins. Figgy Fig. 713-572-4610 if you want to get in. Let's have a little think tank, and let's remember the last time Watson faced Matt Patricia, and we're going to talk to Stanford Brout next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
SportsRadio610.com has the coaches poll up right now. It's a prize fight matchup right now. You have Robert Saleh trailing Eric Bieniemy. Eric Bieniemy has 75% of the votes. I'm running it like Eric Bieniemy. Right, so, people pretty high on Eric Bieniemy. Robert Saleh, rough year for the 49ers. I think it's actually kind of a miracle they got four wins with, it's like 14 guys on IR that are starters. It's next level, but looks like a lot of listeners would like to see Eric Bieniemy as the next coach of the Houston Texans.
I mean, I could see that. He's high on the list. I think it might be a good thing that Saleh is not getting a lot of national run right now because, you know, there won't maybe be an owner that gets swept up in his name. And if you do your research and you like him, you can still go out and get him. I think Saleh's good. I think Eberflus is good. And Bieniemy as well, of course, and Joe Brady.
I think Joe Brady's the guy that you have to call. I think he is the no brainer call right now. I think it's someone's doing it. I mean, that's really all you got to know is someone's doing it.
Yeah,
someone's going to hire Bieniemy too, but Joe Brady's going to be an outside the box hire. Where if you look at his resume the last 2 years, his resume for calling plays to me is more impressive than what Bieniemy's done because we don't even know that Bieniemy calls plays. And people I've talked to, I mean, every once in a while he does, but Andy Reid's the one putting it together. Andy Reid's the guy. Bieniemy could end up being good, but I think Joe Brady calling the plays for LSU last year and calling the plays for Carolina, where they are just completely depleted without even getting to visit with any of these guys.
Yeah.
First-year quarterback, first-year system, all that. I think Joe Brady's a guy who, man, whoever does hire him, I think they could be on the verge of having that next McVay type of guy. Sean Payton doesn't just invite guys and say, hey, you're going to be an offensive assistant in your 20s. Come follow me around. Because I've told stories about Sean Payton following around the Green Bay assistants, getting them coffee, basically. And then all of a sudden, the guy goes to LSU. In 1 year, they're a record-setting offense. And then he's at Carolina. And I mean, they're better than what
you
the
Texans
are.
You know how many 20-something coaches would give their left you-know-what to be on Sean Payton's staff? But it's Sean Payton, and he's very, you know,
precise.
Yes, exactly, about who he wants to bring in.
Especially as an offensive assistant for how hard-headed like, Sean Payton is.
He's like the Juilliard school. They don't just let any schmo in. You have to be, you know, a savant. You have to be one of the best. And that's what he did with Joe Brady, and that's where Joe Brady is, who, by the way, is older now than Sean McVay was when he got a head coaching job.
It seems like there is – There's reasons to like Eric Bieniemy, but there is some stuff that sticks out to where you're like, okay, is this guy really ready to oversee an entire offense? Given the fact that the Chiefs do have that talent, given the fact that they do have Andy Reid, are they really ready? It seems like there's almost like people who are in the Bieniemy camp, and there's a lot of them. And look, there's a lot to like about the guy. I mean, you listen to the guy talk, and you know the tree that he comes from with Andy Reid, that coaching tree, it's had some success, and he's a sharp dude. Someone's going to hire him. But it does seem like there's like a strong effort to not really look at the reasons for skepticism when it comes to Bieniemy and just hype up reasons for Bieniemy to be coach. And then there's efforts to like minimize other potential candidates, like the Joe Brady's and all that. So you when you start talking about this, the Robert Saleh thing is, well, you know, he's a defensive guy. They don't really need a defensive guy. Bieniemy, if you don't like Bieniemy, it's, well, Andy Reid's calling that offense, so he's not really a guy. Joe Brady's never been a coach. and he's a little bit too young. Greg Roman, oh my gosh, look what's happening with Lamar Jackson this year. I've yet to have anyone tell me why Matt Eberflus wouldn't be a good coach for the Texans.
Right.
Of all the guys that we talk about, there's always a point counterpoint as to why.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Eberflus, the defensive coordinator for the Colts, who did some good work with the Cowboys a couple years ago. They've missed him a lot since he left that building. They still talk about it. I haven't really heard too many people tell me why Eberflus would not be a good coach in the NFL.
Well, first thing you need to realize, anybody who is kind of down on Joe Brady because he's 31 years old is...
That's how old McVay was, pretty much.
Oh, and this isn't to pile on. It's actually slightly older than McVay was, but this isn't to pile on Jack Easterby. But just as an illustration, Joe Brady is miles more qualified to be a head coach in the NFL than Jack Easterby was to be an acting general manager in the NFL. So, you know, they took a chance on Easterby, and obviously that's TBD, but the early returns are not good on him. So somebody's going, you've said it, somebody's going to take that, somebody's going to roll the dice. And then the second thing that's most important with Joe Brady, everybody that's at the top of the list of candidates, none of them have been a head coach in the NFL. I mean, they have many of the – now, they have better experience. You know, Bieniemy's 40-something years old. I think late 40s, to be honest. Eberflus is in his 40s. Salah's in his early 40s. They have more experience, a better resume per se, but all of them are going to be doing this job for the first time as a head coach.
Yeah. I mean, it's there's no one – unless you want to go the Todd Bowles route or something like that, and you want to say, hey – defensive coordinator of Tampa Bay, come on down. I mean, it's going to be someone doing it for the first time. So you don't really know. But, I mean, they got to start somewhere. It is a good time, though, to hire a coach. I will say that. I think it's a good time. Bieniemy right now blowing out Robert Saleh. I don't agree with this decision by you people, but to each his own.
To each their own.
713-572-4610. Deshaun Watson, Matthew Stafford, number one overall pick in 2009 versus the 12th selection in 2017. Two different paths. Stafford, despite the fact that he did win over 30 games in 3 years at Georgia, a little bit disappointing, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
And Deshaun Watson could have easily won two national championships.
Stafford was an amazing player in college, and his path very, very much mirrors, not to the exact point, but very, very much it mirrors Deshaun Watson. And in the pros, he's one of those kind of cautionary tales of what you don't want to happen to Deshaun Watson.
He's about to have his fourth coach starting next year. 713-572-4610 if you want to get in. Let's get a little think tank going at 120. Let's move the think tank back to 120 because we have to talk to our guy Stanford Rout. It is Wednesday. It is WSW. So Stanford Rout, former NFL cornerback, going to join us. Before we bring Stan on, we had a caller yesterday that wanted to call out my man Stan. I thought it was very appropriate, and I am always in favor of calling out my good buddy Stanford Rout. So, Stan, are you with us right now?
Oh, you know I'm right here with you, Ledger. Who called up there to call me out? I want to hear this.
There he is. This is what he had to say, and I got to tell you, John's probably going to duck and throw me in front of the fire. John Lopez, he co-signed this opinion more than me.
What?
Co-signed this opinion more than
Play
me.
Play the audio.
Heard y'all talking about food today, and I know Stanford had said that he ordered his steak medium plus. I was an operations director for a nice group here in Houston for a long time. So medium plus isn't an actual temperature. It is there to help people feel bougie when they have the taste buds of a 10-year-old boy and they want it medium well, but they want to sound like they ordered medium.
Thank
like
you.
Everywhere he goes.
That's a good way to put it.
No, everywhere he goes, they make fun of him in the kitchen and they just cook it medium well. Now, where he goes that he spends money at, they're going to be nice about it and accommodate him.
There you go, Stan.
Okay, hold on. First of all, who the H-E double hockey stick was that?
It was a listener.
First of all, listener, shut the hell up. That's number one. I remember I've gone to specific restaurants where the waiter and the chef, they suggested that that's what I was talking about, because I told him, I said, I want it, I don't want it well done, but I want it kind of almost well done. And that's
so
what they suggested.
Medium well, right?
No, medium plus. That's what they called it. That's no, hold on, fellas. That's what they called it. I'm not the one that came up with that term. The waiter, he suggested that to me. Matter of fact, I want to say I was at Vic and Anthony's when I first discovered that. That's what the waiter and the chef suggested to me on what I was describing. Okay. I told him, I said, I don't want it well done, but I don't want it pink in the middle also. I kind of want it like almost well done, but not all the way. And then they're like, oh, so it sounds like you want medium plus. And I was like, oh, what's that? And then that's when they described it to me. And then I said, okay, you know what? Let's try the medium plus. They bought the steak out, the ribeye. I had it. It was amazing. And I was like, okay, from now on, this is what I'll tell people whenever I go to a steakhouse. I'll tell them that I want a medium plus. So Mr. Listener, who wanted to call in and be all of a sudden politically correct and correct me, please, sir, you know, with all due respect, I'm sure he's a fine young man, but I'm sorry. I know what I'm doing when I go eat steak, because I love steak. I've been doing it since I was a kid. I know what I'm doing, so I'll have to respectfully decline his suggestion or his commentary that he wants to make. But you know, hey man, whatever, let's get to football, guys.
November 26, 2009, the Raiders versus the Dallas Cowboys on Thanksgiving. It was the 50th anniversary for both teams. It was an AFL legacy game. What do you remember about that game, Stan?
Oh wow, I remember that we got beat, and it wasn't even like by a field goal or anything like that. That was when Jerry's World first opened up, I believe. I believe that was their first year. Great stadium, you know, phenomenal atmosphere. Let me see here. We lost that game, and it wasn't close. And then, let me see here. I wound up staying the night in Dallas afterwards because of Thanksgiving. But yes, I remember that game pretty well. We did not even come close to winning. I believe Dallas went 13-3 that year, I think. I could be wrong if memory serves correctly. But, yeah, none of us played well in that game. We lost by a healthy margin.
It was 24-7. But what about the actual routine of playing on Thanksgiving Day? Did you like it? Did you dislike it? Was it weird? I mean, what was it like to be playing on Thanksgiving?
I mean, it really wasn't anything that was like completely daunting. Obviously, it's just kind of like playing on Thursday Night Football, except you're playing on Turkey Day. One thing that I learned when I first got to the Oakland Raiders back then is that you are no longer a football player once you make it to the NFL. You are now what you call entertainment, which means you saw a couple years ago when the Steelers played the Texans on Christmas Day. If you play for the Detroit Lions or the Dallas Cowboys, you will play on Thanksgiving Day. So you are providing entertainment for the rest of the world on said holiday. So it really wasn't something that was like extremely different, because if you played Thursday Night Football before or playing on a Thursday, then you know what? That's like playing on Thanksgiving, except, you know, it's called Turkey Day. But, you know, once you play in the league, you're used to adversity. You're used to different types of things like that. So it's not anything that that you cannot get up for, or that it's extremely daunting of a task to be able to go ahead and play. It's just really just another day, because for most of my years, whether we played on Thanksgiving or not, I usually spend Thanksgiving at least away from my family, because, you know, I'm all the way out in California, things like that. So it wasn't anything that was really out of the norm for me.
Well, you're pretty wired up. You got a tackle in that one. So there you go.
Landry, you know what? Tomorrow is Thanksgiving, so I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to let you go ahead and slide, even though obviously your Longhorns can't even get on the field right now, but we're not going to talk about that. Moving on.
I'm telling you, though, you know, we've given our opinions and memories as kids and people that have watched the football on Thanksgiving, and why we think it's special, you know, and special for players. But even though you're in the routine, as you just mentioned, it's Thanksgiving, it's national TV, you got the A teams of all the announcing crews. It had to be a little different feel for you.
I'd probably say, to be honest with you, the biggest feeling was playing in Jerry's World, like playing at that spaceship out there in the middle of Arlington. That was probably the biggest,
you know, awe moment for me. But just, you know, playing on Thanksgiving, because, like, whether you're playing on the Fox game or whether it's the NBC game or the NFL Network game, I think still covers it. Like, regardless, you know, playing on Thursday Night Football, you're going to be getting the A color commentary, play-by-play announcer pretty much for the most part. So, yeah, like I said, from the outside looking in, from that type of vantage point, yeah, it is a little bit different. Okay, you're playing on Thanksgiving, but once the ball is kicked off, you wake up. Let's say you're playing the early game. You wake up about 9, or I'm sorry, 8. You're at the stadium about 9. You're warming up, getting ready, things like that. Once the ball is kicked off, it's just football, and you don't really think about all of the orbital types of factors, where what network we're on, whether it's this color commentary, play by play guy, things like that. You really don't worry about that once the ball is kicked off. It's just football.
What does the win feel like for the Texans against the Patriots? Because, you know, obviously winning is better than losing. I'm not breaking news here, but when you are 2-7 and then you're 3-7, obviously you have that initial high, but then the reality does set in that you are 3-7 and the playoffs are basically a long shot and really no chance. Does that high carry into the next game, or does it kind of go away on Tuesday? How does that work for the Texans coming off that win against the Patriots?
It goes away probably maybe about 24 hours after, because you still remind yourself that you're 3-7, and oftentimes a lot of the veterans will come into the locker room after the game and they will remind a lot of the players on the team that, like, hey guys, we're still just 3-7. So let's not act like we won the Super Bowl. But nonetheless, that is the mantra. That is one pivotal mindset that you have to have as an NFL player, simply because whether you're 10-0 like the Pittsburgh Steelers or whether you're 3-7 like the Houston Texans, once the game is over with on Sunday afternoon or Sunday night, Monday night, what have you, you have to put it to bed by Monday night / Tuesday morning, simply because you can have a big win and then go and lay an egg the following week because you were riding too high off of that big victory, forgetting about the point at hand coming in just a few short days. And the same thing like with the loss, or just simply being 3-7, you have to put it to bed after Monday night, no matter whether you win or lose, because guess what? You got another game coming in a few days. And for the Texans, they got another game coming in less than 24 hours. So to your point, Landry, whether it's a win or a loss, whether you're 10-0, 3-7, whether you're 0-10 like the New York Jets, you have to put it to bed by Monday or Monday night, no matter what.
Stan, I got to tell you, man, I've been sort of a back and forth on your Raiders all year long, but I'm not, I'm not anymore. I mean, they are legit. They are a contender. They just about pulled it off again. How would you – this is a simple football question, man. How do you rank teams right now in the AFC?
Well, just kind of like what I said last week, you really – don't know who's the best teams other than just simply by the record. The Pittsburgh Steelers, they're 10-0, so you got to give them so much credit. Big Ben, obviously we know he's a Hall of Famer. Mike Tomlin, one of the best coaches of all time, things like that. But who have the Pittsburgh Steelers really, really beat? They beat the Baltimore Ravens, but now we're starting to see Lamar Jackson is starting to come back to the pack because his deficiencies in the pass game are finally really starting to show up, things like that. The Pittsburgh Steelers have not played the Kansas City Chiefs and vice versa. I don't think that they played the Buffalo Bills, if memory serves. Sometimes I get a little fuzzy on the schedule. But so you really don't exactly know. And then we see the Buffalo Bills. They started off pretty good, and then all of a sudden you see they've kind of stubbed their toe. They go and give up a Hail Mary to DeAndre Hopkins, even though he's one of the greatest receivers in the game right now. And then you see the Tennessee Titans. Obviously, they're a team that's really up there, but they have their struggles. If the running game is not working for the Tennessee Titans, Ryan Tannehill is back to being the pedestrian that he was with the Miami Dolphins. So you really kind of struggle. I don't think that there's that one dominant team, but I'm going to have to go ahead and go with the Kansas City Chiefs. They won the Super Bowl last year. Pat Mahomes is the best quarterback in the NFL right now. The $500 million contract, things like that. But as far as after the Kansas City Chiefs, I think everything else is just simply on what day of the week it is, yeah, as far as 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. But I love what you said, though, J-Lo. Landry, go ahead. I want you to repeat what J-Lo just said. The Las Vegas Raiders are a
legit.
They're cute. I mean, they're a cute team.
Whoa, 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 Landry. Did you just refer to a NFL team as cute?
It was a cute loss the other day, man. They had the internet going nuts.
Landry, Landry, I will dive on you if I'm in the studio right now. You just said you just called an NFL team cute.
Cute squad, man. Cute squad.
Landry, the way that you are able to disrespect people while a smile, having a smile on your face, man, that's a talent. Hey, that's a talent, Landry. It really is.
I'm taking the Falcons this week over the Raiders, by the way. I'm taking the Falcons over the Raiders this week. I'm not even going to say. I got nothing more left to say. Give me the Falcons.
Landry, just because that team down there in Austin, Texas, is still not able to get it together and soiling themselves year after year with being the premier school in the state of Texas, even though that's BS. Just because they can't get it together, don't go start hating on my Raiders just because you don't like them.
I like
That's
them.
All it is,
I
Landry.
Like them. They're no, cute.
No,
they're
no,
cute.
Landry, okay, Landry, now you're trying me. Now I feel like you're trying me right now. You're calling 53 grown men cute.
No, I'm calling team as a whole. The team as a whole, not like individually. It's like as far as being a contender, like when we throw out the C word, like there's only a few contenders. They're not a contender.
Now, I'm not going to lie to you. Do I think that right now they can contend for AFC title game or Super Bowl? No, I don't, because I think their defense still has a long way to go. But the way that Derek Carr is now proving
yes,
I'm willing to go toe to toe with anybody. Derek Carr played as well as Pat Mahomes in that game. If the defense, namely Jonathan Abrams, does not go and abort their entire responsibility and bite up because they see Pat Mahomes scrambling, thinking that he's about to run the ball when he's really just trying to go ahead and manipulate you so he can throw it over your head to Travis Kelce. If the Las Vegas Raiders stand up in that moment, they're walking away winning that game.
I think the most important thing, Stan, is that Derek Carr, you know, a lot of people were thinking that maybe the Raiders move on from him after this year. I mean, the way he's playing, I mean, you just keep that rolling and then you fill in the dots. It's not like you have to start over. So I think they're a year away from being a contender, but it's like when I throw out cute, I'm just saying like I don't think this is a contender. I think we're using the word contender a little too loose for a team that lost
this,
Sunday.
Well, then how about this? How about you just say this? They're a good team. How about you just say
they're all right.
You can't do it.
Hey, Stan, before we get you out of here, I want to ask you, do you have mac and cheese at your Thanksgiving?
Yes.
Okay, just checking.
Actually, it's Velveeta shells and cheese, but to answer your question about right,
so
you
the
know,
answer,
simply having...
So the answer would have been no. The answer would have been no there.
I mean, it's Velveeta
Figgy,
shells
Figgy.
And cheese.
It,
like,
does that count?
The same thing.
Nah, you can have that on a regular night.
Figgy says that.
I'm talking
count.
About the baked mac and cheese.
Yeah,
the one grandma.
Oh no,
cooked.
No. Oh no, I'm a Velveeta shells and cheese guy.
Okay,
all right.
Stanford Brout. That's a guy who orders his steak medium plus.
Yeah,
take that with you.
You know it. and tell that caller to mind his own business.
Hey, Stan, y'all still in the playoffs?
Yes, we had a first-round bye last week. I told you that, Landry. We have our first game of the playoffs this Saturday afternoon in Fredericksburg, Texas, against Midland Christian.
There we go.
That's going to be fun.
Close to your neck of the woods.
And Landry, hey, and I'm telling you right now, you better not say anything while I'm still on this line.
No.
And after I hang up, I don't want to hear nothing slick because you know I'd be listening in on y'all.
I'm rooting for you. Stanford Brout. There you go, man. Go get him.
Hey, man, you guys be good. Y'all be happy Thanksgiving.
You too, my guy. Stan right there, St. Thomas. Although Cecil does say that he's a better coach than Stanford.
Cecil does?
Yeah.
They both coach there, by the way.
I know, but he says he's...
No, I'm saying for those who don't know.
No, but he says he's a better coach than Stan.
Cecil does?
Yes.
He said that?
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't think I was supposed to dump that, Figgy. Like, that's just what I heard.
Like Vrabel and Harbaugh right there.
There it is. Let's go around the NFL coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.